And now your host, self-made millionaire and national award-winning investor of the year, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Yesterday, one day late, but not a dollar short, I sat down and watched the Grammys. And, you know, it was busy Sunday. Some other stuff came up. I think the Rockets game was on also. Just a bunch of stuff to see, and I just didn't get to it and had it recorded. So I sat down last night and enjoyed the Grammys, and it was interesting because something stuck out to me. And things do that to me. They send thought processes to me that make me think widely of other ideas. And the one that really got me was when I first saw Sir Paul McCartney playing backup guitar for Rihanna. And, you know, I saw Paul there with his, like, third wife or fourth wife or who knows how many, whatever. You saw the guy and you think, man, here is the guy that changed music almost. I mean, the Beatles and the stuff that these guys wrote, the tours that they did, it really changed the way, you know, music was done. It changed hairstyles and clothing styles. It was, you know, they were cutting edge. And now, 50 years later, Paul McCartney's relegated to being backup guitarist for Rihanna. A virtual nobody in the world of music, although I like her stuff, so don't get me wrong. I actually like her sounds. But as far as comparing Paul McCartney to Rihanna, now, here's my point. You want to have Paul McCartney get up there and do something? Great. And give him some respect. If you just want him to show up and enjoy the event and, you know, have a standing ovation for him, great. But having him stand there and play backup guitar to Rihanna, to me, was rather insulting. Now, why am I speaking about all this? What does this have to do with money, with finances, with real estate? It has everything to do with life. And it's not about the money. It's about the lifestyle. And what I realized was, as I started watching this show with a more critical eye and started thinking about it as I'd watched this show so many years in the past, is that every year, there's a new kid on the block. Somebody you've never heard of. The guy that won, I don't even know what the guy's name is. Like, it's Mark something, I think. Some guy won all these things. I don't even know who he is. I've never heard his music. Even my girlfriend, who knows everybody's music, listens to every genre out there, she didn't know half the songs he was playing. If any of them, I don't want to be exactly right, honest about it. I don't know. But the bottom line is that this is a complete nobody, unknown, who tomorrow takes over the hot spot of the entire world. Now, why is that important? Well, that's not so important as what happened to all the people that used to be the stars. I mean, think about it. LL Cool J, this artist, this bad guy, is now a suit-wearing, French derby hat-wearing announcer. He's found out how to survive as he got older, to stay in the business in some way, shape, or form. That's good. I like it. He's a neat guy. But what I want you to ask yourself is, what happened to all the thousands of other artists that come and go? And I mean literally come and go. Here today, gone tomorrow, superstar, and nothing. All right away. And then it started me thinking about, wow, what about the fact that 7,000 people just got laid off from the oil companies? Here today, with an incredible job, gone tomorrow. Broke. Not going to be able to pay their mortgages. Not going to be able to pay their car payments. Going to eat up whatever small savings they've already saved up since the last time they didn't have work. And people are living this here today, gone tomorrow, here today, gone tomorrow lifestyle. And it's everybody. It's every genre out there. Whatever it is you do, it comes and goes, it comes and goes. I was in the health club industry. And when I worked there, people came and went. we had guys that would come in, they'd be managers, and they'd last a year or two, and then we'd throw them out. They'd get lazy, we'd get rid of them. They couldn't keep up with the hours. I mean, we worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. They couldn't do it. We'd have to get rid of them. And I did that for 12 years, and it's interesting that right after I left, the company started having problems. And I'm not claiming it's because of me, but I'm just saying it started having problems. I feel kind of blessed that I got out. And they sold the company, and they fired all the top staff. All the guys that had told me for years that I was lucky to have a job working for them, all these guys that rode around in expensive cars and screamed and yelled about how important they were, they're gone. Boom. Just like that. Nothing. I've seen many of them since then, and they're barely surviving, barely getting by. And where I'm going with this is, are you prepared to have it all taken away from you, and do you have a life after work? Do you have a life after career? Can you financially survive? See, I've gone many years now. It's been 25, 26 years since I left corporate America, left a job, and I've had not only steady income, but ever-increasing income for the last 26 years. I've been blessed. And no doubt about it, I've been blessed. But the blessing wasn't that I made a lot of money. The blessing was that I figured out it early enough that the health club didn't be forever. The way it was run, the ethics was underlying, and the concept of signing people up to contracts and make them pay for something they never used. The super expensive marketing and advertising we get people in for emotions on things it would never completely use. I knew the industry was about this. In the end, it became about sales and marketing. And I'll be right back on the other side of this hard break.
Lifestyles Unlimited is a real estate investor and mentoring group that has been taking people by the hand and teaching them how to invest in real estate for over 24 years. Our students have won local, state, and national awards as Real Estate Investor of the Year 8 of the last 8 years. Personal Real Estate Investor magazine has named us the best education and mentoring group in the United States. Our students own an astounding amount of single-family rental houses and apartment complexes. I'm Lynn Andres, host of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show and an investor in both single-family and multifamily properties. If you're ready to add some real estate to your portfolio, I've got your map. Come to the next workshop to claim your map to financial freedom. Go to getmymapnow.com and register for the next workshop in your area. That's getmymapnow.com.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Today we're talking about being relegated down to total non-existence in the real world. Is it going to happen? Yes, it is. When? We don't know. Is it going to be something of a catastrophic event where your company goes out of business or an entire industry lays people off in the thousands and thousands? Or is it going to just be something where someone younger comes along and beats you out for your job? I mean, that's what I was seeing on the Grammys last night. People just getting beaten out and put away. They're done. It's over. And so, you know, I started thinking about these people that, you know, 7,000 people got laid off. What do you do if you're just an average person? Like, what do you do if you've not planned for being laid off? You don't have money, you don't have income. And I started thinking, my gosh, why doesn't everybody just buy 3 or 4 rent houses? At least, you know, so they could have $2,000 a month of passive income coming in. And then it came to me, and I guess it's come to me many times in the past, that people just don't care. They live for their hand in mouth. They're, you know, hey, I'm pocket rich. If I got money in my pocket, I'm rich. If I've got a job, I'm doing well. When in reality, all you're doing is basically getting by. You know, they ask the question all the time, if you were to lose your job tomorrow and you took your life savings and lived at the same level you're living now, how long could you live? Most people couldn't even live 6 months. Some people might live a year. Hardly nobody could live the rest of their life. So it's not about how much money you save up. It's about, do you have any alternate streams of income? And do you have a way to own your life? As I sat here and I watched that, I thought, man, I remember a story a guy told me a long time ago. I asked him, why did you sell your company for $400 million and take back a contract for $1 million a year to be the, you know, CFO or, I'm sorry, CEO or something, not CEO, he's president. It's basically just a named position. And if you got $400 million, there's no real need to have to worry about needing a job for $1 million a year. I mean, $400 million a year at 10% is $40 million a year, you know? So, I mean, there's no need to worry about money. But what he said to me was interesting. He said, because if I didn't have this job, I'd just be another old man walking up and down the street. And I wonder how many people, you know, and I go in the gym and I see people, see them, and they're aged. We all have aged. I don't even know who I am. And I look in the mirror, I go, man, you are one ugly old person, dude. And we age and we get physically unfit. I mean, it hurts to do stuff that I used to relish to do before. Now I have to force myself to go exercise. And I used to love to do it. Now it's really takes a lot of psychological diligence to get up and go do this stuff. But the thought process is, hey, this is happening. Wake up. It's going to happen to you too. And when are you going to start doing something about it? It is inevitable that at some point you're going to lose your job. Do you have an alternative lifestyle created? Do you have a life? Let's just answer it that way. Do you have a life? Or does your company control everything about your life? Now, look, I'm not putting down work. Man's creativity comes out of work many times. What I'm putting down is those of us out there that do not have a backup plan. Those of us out there that do not own our life. Because if you would just go out and create passive streams of income equal to your earned income, I'm not telling you then to go quit your job, although many, many people want to do that. What I'm really saying to you is this. You now are safe. I'll tell you. You could go back to work and really enjoy it if you knew that your boss couldn't give you any BS. I remember one time after I bought a bunch of houses and I hadn't left my job yet, but I was still working there. And this boss went on vacation, you know, around the world for 2 weeks or something. And something happened where one of the other employees had done something terrible, and I fired the person. But it wasn't my employee, but all the head guys were gone, and this was in another division. But it was such a bad thing that they did that I had to let him go on the spot. Otherwise, there'd been no credibility for the company at all. And this guy calls me up long distance and starts screaming and yelling at me. And I had staff in the room, and I wasn't going to let him berate me that way. So I just took the phone and I stuck it in the drawer and shut the drawer. And I started talking to people and went back to doing what I was doing. About 5 or 10 minutes later, I opened the door and I picked up the phone. The guy was still yelling. And right then and there, I knew that there is nothing out there, no job on this earth that's worth giving away the responsibility to your life. Giving away the self-respect that you as a human being deserve. And you need to go do something about it. But guess what? If you don't go do something about it, then no one owes you any forgiveness. No one owes you any apologies. If you're dumb enough to live your life without doing something on the side, then when they smack you upside of the head and throw you out in the dirt and spit on you, well, then you deserve it because you allowed them to put you in that situation. And no one's going to have any sympathy for you. So you got to think about that. I want you to think about that. I want you to start thinking about when are you going to start creating an alternative financial situation that you could live with if the worst disaster happened and you lost your job or you got hurt on the job, or some younger person that could do the job better than you came in and took it away from you, or maybe your entire industry gets phased out. Remember, if you were a saddle maker and the automobile came along, that industry just about went away. You know? So, think about that. While we're thinking about that, I've got some other information here that came up to me, and that was an article that was talking about the fact that right now more people rent than own, okay, which is an interesting situation. But for us as rental owners, it's a good thing because our occupancies are very high and our rents are very high. But this article is looking at it from the other side turned around. Now, I'll give you some of the article, and then we'll parse through it and talk about what things I think you should get from it. It says, the majority of households in Houston are renters, despite a time of low vacancy rates and sharply rising rents. A report released Monday shows affordable housing has become a concern in all major U.S. cities, analyzed, leaving low to moderate income renters burdened by housing costs. In 9 of the 11 top cities in the country, renters make up the majority of households. In Houston and Dallas, where the price of single-family homes is relatively inexpensive, this represents a shift. As a result of demand, housing costs are shifting upward across the board and burdening low-income households. The supply of affordable rental housing failed to keep pace with the demand in the largest 11 U.S. cities, according to the New York University Berman Center and Capital One Financial Group. The report analyzed data from 2008 to 2013 in the 11 largest cities in the U.S. Houston and Dallas were the only major cities in the country where the average renter could afford the recently available rental units on the market. So, here we go. What do you want to get out of all this? Well, number one, Houston and Dallas still is relatively inexpensive to live here compared to the rest of the country, which means there's still going to be more people coming, which means the economy here is going to do well even with the oil crisis going on. It means our occupancy is going to stay high. What it really means when you dig down a little deeper is if you own some rent houses right now, you're going to be able to rent those rent houses and keep them rented and get full market rents. It's just a perfect time for renting houses. There's massive demand and very low supply. And so if this were your retirement, you could pretty much count on this. At the very same time, however, we came across a situation the other day, and it's a deal that I'm not going to tell you completely about because I'm going to make it beneficial for my clients only. But we found a giant buyer that's willing to pay 103% of appraised value for any real estate you're selling. So what we're saying is there's people out there with so much money that they're not even looking for deals. They'll buy your property from you at 103% of market value right now. So that creates a dilemma we're going to cover when we get back. Our number here is 281-558-5738. And when we come back, we're going to cover the dilemma. And I get no less than 10 emails about this a week. Should I sell or should I hold? Wow. Interesting question. We'll be right back with the Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Did you know that right now is the perfect time to be investing in real estate? One, prices are going up rapidly. Two, we have historically low interest rates that are giving us higher cash flow than ever before. Three, we have more people renting now than ever before. And four, we have rents going up across the country at historically high rates. These four reasons combine to make now one of the best times we are going to see in our lifetime to buy real estate. Now is the time for you to take action. To learn how, attend one of our free introductory workshops on real estate investing. Call 866-945-6565 or go online to lifestylesunlimited.com and register for the next workshop in your area. That's 866-945-6565 or lifestylesunlimited.com. That's lifestylesunlimited.com.
back to the radio show. We're discussing, should you buy or should you, should you sell right now or should you continue to rent? And I'm getting this question email after email after email recently. And it's really a difficult question because you have to look at what it is your goal is, what your timing is, where you see yourself. For example, I see nothing wrong if you got four or five houses just to continue to accumulate one or two or three more. If your goal is just to have some backup income and a fallback and maybe a long-term retirement plan. This is not about getting rich. It's about having a lifestyle. I don't see any problem with that. On the other hand, if you're sitting there and you've got four or five rent houses and you've got equity in them, the equity's doing you no good. You could refinance it out and buy a few more houses if you wanted to. That could be an acceptable alternative. But at this point in time, you're at the peak of the market now. And we're at the peak of the market in the stock market, the peak of the market in the real estate market. And could it go up higher? Yes, things could go a little higher. I think they could. I predicted about another good year at least of that. But at the same token, in all of your dreams and everything you've ever heard about in your life is buy low and sell high. And for those of us that we bought in during this last recession, 2007, 2008, our real estate has almost doubled in value, if not more, probably more. And it might be the right time to take the money off the table. Now, think about this. If you take the money off the table and you sell the properties and pull out the gains and stick it in the bank, you then have two options. You could go buy an apartment complex and then create probably equal to, if not more, passive income than you had with those houses. Or you could sit and wait. If you were not close to retirement and you knew that you were going to be working for another 10 or 20 years, you very well could wait a year or two and watch out for a recession, thinking, maybe that possibility, I can just do another one of those massive return deals. And I mean, during that time, we were making 400% returns on some of our deals. Just incredible stuff when the market's crashing. Fun to buy during that time. So you could really go either way. There's really no answer. It's win-win right now. The only thing that you could do right now that would be wrong, right, is to leave the money sitting in the properties and accumulating debt equity. You either need to take the money out of the equity that you've accumulated out of those houses and go buy more houses and increase the cash flow, or you need to sell the houses and change positions, one of the two. All right, 281-558-5738 if you want to get in. I'm going to go to an email now. It's going to completely change directions. This email, to be honest with you, rather shook me. I don't have any other way to say it. The guy starts out and he's an avid listener, and he's actually a member of Lifestyles, but he's not done anything. He's 60 years old, said that he got out of the Air Force back in 1980, and for the next 31 years he took care of his mother and lived with her, lived off of her. She paid for everything. And he was satisfied to do that. After his mother passed away, then he spent another year or two living at her place out in the woods doing nothing while they went about selling the house and the assets, maybe to be split amongst siblings. I don't know. He didn't really explain that. And then he comes back and says, ever since 1995, I've been looking for passive income, but didn't know where to find it. I lost repeatedly while trading stocks, options, and commodities, and something called PIPs, okay, for most of the 2000s. I was too greedy or just uninterested to invest in municipal bonds or other similar low-paying investments. I wanted large gains with great wealth. I should have started with real estate in 2000s. Now, I don't invest in paper at all, but one of my favorite financial writers, Nick Garina, zero-coupon bonds to buy, especially on rate spikes. My money just sits in savings. I listen to your podcast almost every day that you record one. Here is some less positive commentary. I seem to rationalize my way out of real estate investing for the following reasons. I read a lot of alternative news sites, not just Steve Quayle, Affords News, King World News, and Drudge Report. It seems like I would be investing into the teeth of World War III, with Russia having left the petrodollar criminal sin and much saber-rattling going on in Europe. So my excuse for not investing is the undercurrent of fear, and I'm hoping for a deflationary collapse, which is possibly greed in disguise, where I could swoop in and buy things cheap. The alternative economic news is so bad that it seems a crash could happen because of the deleveraging of the energy derivatives and subprime crisis. Anyway, I certainly wouldn't make any money by not investing in real estate either. I've tried to write in the past, but always decided not to do so for some reason. For a great show. Thanks for a great show, and I listen to it every day. Guys, think about what this gentleman is trying to say in his own way. He's trying to say, I've done nothing. For 40 years, I've done nothing. And he can't move forward. This is a perfect example of a type B personality who has overanalyzed everything to death. He's tried everything. You know, type B has tried everything like a type A. A type A tries everything. He's willing to risk and gamble his money away. But then he stops and then becomes a type B, almost like he found religion. In other words, a type A gambler that was willing to try everything, who did nothing, lived with his parents for 31 years, now found religion almost, and became a type B, and now so fearful, so over-analytical, that he can't do anything. It's a very sad commentary, but I think there are a lot of people out there just like this gentleman. And I would offer up this suggestion. You need to stick your toe in and do something that is solid and consistent and build on that consistency. It's like when I got cancer, I thought to myself, man, I can't work out anymore. Then I immediately found out I had a torn rotator cuff, so I couldn't lift weights, and I had to, you know, go have an operation. So I went 2 years in cancer and 6-8 months with this rotator cuff thing, and I had lost all my muscle tissue and all my energy, and I just looked and felt terrible physically. And I looked in the mirror, and I go, what happened to me? And I said, okay, I need to get back in there. I need to get back in there, and I couldn't do it. So what I decided I would do is I decided that I would not try to get back in there and do everything or even be right or even be close to correct. I just decided I'd go to the gym and do whatever felt good, whatever I could get myself to do. And first, all that was to get on a recumbent bike and just pedal. That's all I could do. I had no more energy than that. I was afraid to lift weights because of my operations. Eventually, I started lifting weights that even a 12-year-old kid could lift, you know, 20, 30, 40 pounds, just to feel the motion of my body. And I kept doing that, adding a little bit of weight, but never struggling, never really pushing myself, just taking it easy, but consistently and repeatedly putting in some effort. And within 8 months to a year, right before I tore my bicep off the bone and destroyed the whole process again, I'd actually got back up to where I had a fairly decent figure or body for a 58-year-old. I was lifting fairly heavy weights compared to, you know, not being a kid, a bodybuilder, a powerlifter, just an average old guy working out. I was feeling pretty good. And then I tore my bicep off the bone. And there it was. Mentally, I had to start all over again. My point to you as we go to break here, that's what life is, folks. It's 1,000 start-overs. All you have to have is a core. that knows how to deal with that. And if you do, you can start it over. 1,001, 1,002, 1,010 times. You just start from the beginning. Take the first step. 281-558-5738. We'll be right back with the Real Estate Investor Edition.
Get total freedom in your life safely and quickly. Build wealth and passive income so you never worry about losing your job, working till you drop, or retiring in poverty. Hi, I'm Stephen Davis, and I've taught over 100,000 people in the last 24 years the principles of financial freedom through our radio shows and live one-on-one mentoring at Lifestyles Unlimited. I'm excited to tell you about our real estate workshop that really takes it to a whole new level. It gets you on the inside of what we do and what we believe and unlocks the five ways we make money in real estate. Just like your personal trainer, we will motivate, encourage, and teach you so you can get in the best financial shape of your life. Just go to fivewayswemakemoney.com. That's fivewayswemakemoney.com to register for the workshop that will change your life and let you stop worrying about losing your job, working till you drop, or retiring in poverty.
Welcome back to Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Our number here is 281-558-5738. Holding through the break now is Ronnie. Ronnie, how can we help you today?
I am looking to purchase a property for myself. Before I get involved with real estate development and what y'all do, what kind of mortgage do you recommend in terms of years, 30, 20, 15? And second question of two, do you podcast this show for later listening if somebody's got to take care of their regular business and work and all that? So two questions.
Second question, if you go to our website, lifestylesunlimited.com, we have all of our shows. The show actually goes out to about 71 stations. There's actually 3 hours a day of the show, and they are all podcasts, so you can pick that up.
Roger
now,
that.
You're saying you want to buy a house. Is that for you to live in or as an investment?
For me to live in, and when I sell it, hopefully it will be an investment. But for me, yes, sir.
All right. Whenever we buy houses, Ronnie, we buy them with long-term 30-year mortgages. That keeps the payment down as low as possible. The basic theory that we live by is it's all about the cash flow. And so if you're paying large payments, you know, you have less cash flow that you can go out and do something else with, which is buy investment properties. Secondly, we never look at your personal residence as an investment. To us,
Roger.
It's an expense. You're consuming it. It's not an investment. So you want to keep that expense down as low as you possibly can. A lot of people that don't have any money, that don't know anything about investing, that are just the average guy on the street that listens to Dave Ramsey and all the other guys that don't have any idea what they're doing, they're trying to tell you to pay off your mortgage. You don't want to pay off your mortgage. That's not your goal at all, because if you were, let's say you spent $200,000 for a house, you paid it off, that $200,000 is wasted. It's doing you no good at all. That money needs to come out of that house and be invested so you can get rich. Now, the same difference is, if it's smart enough for you to, if you're smart enough to realize, Ronnie, that you don't want that money in there, then you have to be as smart to understand you don't want to put it there in the first place. Which means you don't want to pay the mortgage down. That's not a goal in life, not a goal for being financially secure. So you need a 30-year mortgage, and as long as you could go. If we could get 40- or 50-year mortgages, we'd use those too.
Gotcha. You know, I appreciate you going into that, because I was thinking that. That was on my mind, so you're reading minds today. So that's excellent that you went into that next bit of explanations with that. If I could summarize a little bit for that last part, hey, don't try to pay off your mortgage right now because, you know, hey, I'll put my part in. You wouldn't have a lot of bills, but you don't have any money in to invest when you have all that money tied into a home.
Absolutely. Think about it this way, just to add to what you're saying, Ronnie. Whether your home is paid in full or whether it's paid off halfway, does your home ever send you a rent check in the mail? And the answer is no.
No, sir. Can I get a couple more questions, sir?
Sure, go ahead.
Are you headquartered here in Houston?
This is the main headquarters. We have offices in Dallas, Fort Worth, Dallas, and San Antonio. San Antonio and Fort Worth are one office, and Dallas, I'm sorry. Dallas and Fort Worth are one office. San Antonio and Austin are another office. Houston is the main office.
Okay, is this where it's all started?
Yeah.
Okay, Roger. And then when someone's in the process of purchasing a home, going back toward the first part of it, do you think they ought to wait till that's done, which would be in the next few months, whatever the closing does, before they get involved with real estate investment, lifestyles, unlimited here?
No, I don't think that's the case at all, and I'll tell you why. There's an educational component. There's the word I was looking for. There's an educational component to this.
Okay.
And while you're going through that process, you might as well get the education out of the way, so as soon as you're ready to start investing, you will have gotten the educational component out of the way, and you don't have to wait twice, you know. So if you wait a couple months to get this house thing done, and then you wait a couple months to get educated, you've wasted half a year to a year. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Gotcha. Okay, Roger. And one more thing. I've heard you for a little bit, and I've heard the guy that that you mentored before. His name slips my mind right now, and he's also excellent, too. Why would you want to share this information? Because, you know, just the average person say, hey, I got money, and I can make even more if I just do this myself. Is it part of your personal satisfaction to go ahead and show other people the way that you have gone to make all this money? And more importantly, as you emphasize time and time again, is a lifestyle?
There's many, many levels, Ronnie, and I've brought them up over the past many different times. You go to the most core level is that when I was a kid, I was a little fat kid, no one played with me. And my whole goal in life was to become somebody that people would want to be around and respect. And I did that by becoming a professional bodybuilder, by being an athlete my whole life. And then I got into health clubs. And this was just something that when I was lucky enough to figure out how to use real estate to create massive wealth, it just became a logical thing that, hey, if I weren't doing this on the radio, I'd be sitting at a bar somewhere telling people the same stories, you know? It's just natural. The second thing is, somewhere along the line, I came up with this idea that the more you give to other people, the more you get back yourself. Mm-hmm. And I figured that more is not one or two or ten people. It's got to be thousands. And if you can get on the radio, it becomes hundreds of thousands. And so what I get back from this is massive, Ronnie. I get way more back personally than I put out, I guarantee you.
Roger that. Like a missionary, they go to bless somebody and they get more blessings. I appreciate all this information and the additional questions, and I will check out your website. Thank you, sir.
All right. Look forward to seeing you over there, man. We have great events.
You got it.
Let's see.
Talk to you.
Next. Okay, thanks, Ronnie. 281-558-5738. Holding now is Clark from Humble. Clark, how can we help you today?
Jill, thank you for taking my call. I'll get right to it on no time short. You mentioned that there's a company that will buy real estate at 103% of the appraised value. My situation is this. I've got a piece of property. If I could sell it, I would jump right into the game. I put it on the market right after they announced that oil prices were dropping and everybody's laying off, so I can't get this house moved. Does that company that you mentioned, that it sounds like a good opportunity for me anyway. What do you think?
Yeah, it should be a good opportunity for everybody. Are you a member with us, Clark?
No, but as soon as I sell that house, I will be.
Okay. Well, right now at this point, I'm holding the opportunity for my members. I know that, you know, you say, well, last guy asked, why do I do this? Well, I do it for everybody. The radio's free, but this thing that I've got right now, there's obviously only so much money to go around to buy everybody's deals up, and
okay.
I'm going to let it go out to my members first and make sure that every member that's sitting on real estate, that it's time to turn it. Because I did a state of the economy here at the Expo, and I told people, hey, this is the top of the market, man. If you've got properties you've got massive gains in, let's get it out now. If you've got properties you don't like, let's get it out now. Now's the time to do it. So I'm going to hold off on giving any more specific details until we've used up. Now, if we've used up all that, or if we've used up all of our desire and there's still money left over, I'll definitely make it available to everybody else.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Look forward to having you with us someday. I'm sure you'll be around someday.
Oh, I'm definitely going to do it.
All right, great.